Hello, welcome to the Drama and Language Teaching Podcast. This is a podcast for anyone interested in drama and theater in language teaching and learning at the interface of education, artistic practice, and research. My name is Stephanie Giebert, and I'm the host of this podcast. It's been a while since the last episode, and actually, the interview for this episode was recorded also a while ago. My guest is Julia Wöllenstein, who is a teacher in Hesse, Germany. She teaches, among other things, English and drama. Julia has been very productive since we spoke, and apart from Edward the Hamster, the play which they took to a Germany-wide competition last summer, two more of her student groups performed plays in February and May of this year. In this episode, we speak about being a drama teacher who works with students from various, often disadvantaged backgrounds. And yes, what you hear is a teacher's perspective. It might have been interesting to also get the perspective of the students we both work with, who are not your usual theater kids, but maybe that is something for another episode. Now, without further ado, let's get started. Welcome to the podcast. I would ask my guest to introduce herself. So today's guest is Julia. So could you briefly introduce yourself? Who are you and where do you currently work?
My name is Julia Wöllenstein and I currently work at a school in Kassel, Germany. It's a school in a socially disadvantaged area of Kassel and we teach fifth graders to 10th graders. I studied social work and drama pedagogue. And afterwards, I became a teacher for English and RE, not PE. I'm sorry. Great difference.
Yeah, there is a difference.
Okay. But since I'm a drama pedagogue, in my first biography, work biography.
Your first life, yeah, your first.
Yes, first, yeah. Yeah, sometimes it feels like I've had three lives. That's why I'm teaching drama at my school. I'm teaching it a lot, actually. I'm the head of the drama department, which means we are a special school because we are called a Kulturschule. And we are in a network for schools who emphasize on darstellende Künste,
which is performing arts. Performing arts.
Performing arts. Ah, yeah. Okay. See, I learned something already. Yeah, so okay. and since we are part of this network, we teach drama like a subject four lessons a week from 7th to 10th grade in our Realschulzweig, which is like the middle branch of our school. And it's you can choose between French techniques and drama.
Okay.
Drama gets more and more
chosen.
Yes, yeah, chosen. That's the correct word. At first pupils didn't really know what to do with it. But since our drama department flourished.
Okay.
Kind of flourished.
Yeah. Okay, that's really cool.
Because we show what is developed in our drama courses to the pupils, because we don't have parents who come and watch the plays. So it's like
a
system which nurtures itself, I always say.
Okay. Like so the pupils are also the audience. Yes. And then they see what you do, they like it, and then they become part of the drama classes themselves. Yes.
It's kind of a challenge because I always say parents who watch their children do something on stage are kind of mild.
Yes.
And our students are the hardest audience, actually.
I can imagine, yes.
The hardest critics of what other pupils do because they often want to say like, oh, that's embarrassing. What are you doing? So this is the greatest challenge for me to engage with the students in a way that they can show themselves in a good light and they have a good feeling about themselves when they present something. And afterwards, the other students say like, wow, that was really cool and you did a good job and I really like that. And yeah, we get better and better in doing that. Yeah.
And since when do you have this performing arts focus in your school? Maybe you said it already.
Yeah, actually, when I started in 2012, the school was already known for good drama classes because we already had Darstellendes Spiel,
Yeah, drama. Yeah.
drama, as a subject which is really graded with marks, not
Yes.
only like a club where you say like, ah, yeah, well done, or not so well done. we have like really, we're grading them between 1 and 6. That was already established when I started my Referendariat, is
Oh
kind
yeah,
of,
your teacher training, yeah.
yeah.
For
And
your
there were,
second in service teacher training, I think, yeah.
And there were two teachers who ran all the courses, and but then they retired, and I basically had to take over the whole department, and I was the only drama teacher, although I didn't have this like real teaching, like a Lehrbefähigung.
Degree, teaching degree, teaching qualification, yeah.
Yeah, it was not like a real qualification because I'm a drama pedagogue. And it's not like in Hesse, actually, there is like a DS exam you can do for,
Okay.
which is actually meant for classes 11 to 13.
Okay, yeah, I
Because
see.
in
Upper
Hesse, we
secondary.
don't have these general curricula for 5th to 10th graders, for example. So our school has like a unique status in Hesse. And yeah, at the moment we are 3 teachers in my
Cool.
department and we have 600 students. So it's a small school.
It is a fairly small school, yeah, exactly. So that's quite
Intimate.
astonishing that you have so much drama for comparatively few students.
Yeah, because it's not only the 4 courses in 7, 8, 9, and 10 in the middle branch, but also the 9th and 10th graders in gymnasium, like the high branch.
Yeah.
They also have 2 lessons of DS,
Okay.
and they can choose between informatics and that
Drama.
drama.
Okay. Yeah, so for anyone listening who's not familiar with the German school system, very briefly, in Germany we have 4 years of primary school, and then basically pupils are split up into 3 different branches. Hauptschule is the least academic type, up to year 9. Then we have Realschule, the middle kind of path, and then Gymnasium. So Realschule is up to grade 10, and Gymnasium is up to grade 12 or 13, depending on where you are. And Julia, in your school, drama is offered in the middle branch and in the most academic branch. But most hours, most like 4 hours per week, for 4 years, in the middle, kind of
Yeah,
middle
starting with
type
year
of school.
7, we also had a drama club for the years 5 to 6. We will change that to cultural education now. And actually, I do not engage in this club anymore because I know that it's not a very, how can you say that? Prominent eine Meinung, eine
It's not
anerkannte Meinung at the moment. Like,
not a popular opinion.
yeah, because my opinion is not very popular at the moment. It's like a politicum in Hesse at the moment. Because most of the drama teachers or even the ministers for cultural education, they want to get rid of grades in everything which engages in performing arts.
Okay.
But I love giving grades because otherwise none of my students would get out of his or her comfort zone. And my students are mostly from educationally or socially disadvantaged families. They strive on marks.
So they need the challenge, they need the pressure.
Or just like they need to know, okay, this is what I get when I do this. It's not like, yeah, you did good, whatever. It's like a 1 or a 2 on my report card, and I want that. So, and not like a you did good.
So yeah, okay. So not just do it for the sake of doing it, but they want something tangible, something concrete. They like it that it's treated like any other subject.
And actually, it shows like shows like that drama is as has got the same value as German or math or whatever. I mean, it's difficult to say, okay, we want drama as a subject in our schools, but we don't want to grade it. It's another thing, what is graded? I don't grade them on being a great actor. Of course not. I grade if they have interesting ideas or if they understand aesthetic
concepts.
Performances or methods, and if they work good in a team or if they understand training, whatever, and if they are concentrated or if they stay in their role, whatever, or if they constantly disturb everything or make fun of others or whatever. So it's more like grading their social competence, kind of. But nonetheless, they always know what I'm focusing on, and they know what they can do to get a good grade.
So it's very clear for them. So the expectations are clear. And yeah, I think that makes sense. I mean, when I think of my students, I think they also like clear expectations. What do I have to do to achieve this or that result? And I know my students struggle with very open tasks and very open expectations. So that kind of makes sense to me, even though I can also imagine maybe the idea, like how do we grade creativity, and it should all be free and no pressure and all of that. Maybe I can guess maybe where that's coming from, but I can also kind of empathize with your point of view in the context where you teach.
I completely understand where the wish against grading in performing arts comes from, totally, because I was raised in another culture, actually. My experiences as a child or growing up in school were whiz clubs, drama club, pantomime club. I did everything in school I could do, and those weren't graded at all. It was just voluntary participation, and I loved it. I loved doing all these clubs and whatever. We did cool stuff. We even went to Poland and Berlin and presented our plays, which we developed in our group together. But my students function totally different from what I was like when I grew up.
I can see that, yeah. Because I think
I wish people would understand that, and I wish they would learn to know my students. Often I think those people they transfer their own experience and their own life style.
Style, yeah, maybe, yeah.
You come from a totally different background. That's not working.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I once spoke to a colleague from another school, and she runs a club which is open to all the students. The students, and I think from 5th to 7th grade, they have to choose a club, and the older students can come if they want to. And she says she hardly sleeps because she's constantly thinking about what to do next in club, which is like such a small part of her teaching. She's a French teacher, basically. The club is just 90 minutes in her week. So she's engaging, and she loses a lot of energy because she says, I always have to do like a super cool lesson and the super fun stuff, because otherwise the older students, they do not come anymore. And the problem is, if you really want to develop a scene, a play, whatever, you need them to come constantly and not to break away in the end of the school year, which is the most important part, because otherwise you have developed something and you can't present it, because in the end you end up with 5 out of 15 students, and with that is super frustrating for the younger students, and they learn from the older ones, like, oh yeah, they are not coming anymore, why do we have to come? So you also bring in so many problems if you do everything on a voluntary basis, whatever, and it makes it for teachers so much harder to get into those creative processes. But I know I'm like the black sheep when I'm at conferences. On Monday, which was 2 days ago, we had like a network meeting at my school, and we presented my latest play. It's with my 9th graders. They are Gymnasium, like the highest branch in our school. So they have got 2 lessons of drama. And we developed a play made out of a book we read in ethics. So, and actually we won the SDL, which is like the biggest European school theater festival. And on Sunday we heard that we won for Hesse. Because each country in Germany sends one
each
play
state
to the our state, of course, sends one play to this festival, and this year it will be in Braunschweig and Wolfenbüttel. So we will go there for 1 week, and my students were super proud and super happy, and I think the play they designed is like it's super cool, and we had a lot of fun. But I always had to push them out of their comfort zone over these, like, but nobody will understand that. That's embarrassing. No, we can't be cats on the stage. What if somebody is looking, whatever? And and then I always said, if you really manage to present this play as a class, every one of you will get a 1 on his or her report card in the end of the school year. Next school year is another topic, but this school year, because it's like a class project in grade 9 gymnasium in our school, the first half of the year, those who chose drama, they make like a text book for a little play. It's about 20 minutes. It's not that long. And in the next half of the school year, the whole class participates in this play.
Staging the play.
Yes, and presents it in the end of the school year. This time it was really good because it was my own class, and actually they trust in me, and we are always 2 class teachers, and the other class teacher is a music teacher, and he was also very engaged, and in the end they actually sing a little bit and whatever. So you can feel that they really trust in us, and they are 9th graders, so that's also a different cup of tea because seventh and eighth graders, that's like super hard. But nonetheless, there are 19 students coming from all over the world. Some of them have been in Germany for 2 years now. And their German is hard to understand, but
but they're taking part and they're doing
and they managed it and they feel comfortable because we work a lot with group scenes and moving all together and tableaus and freeze and whatever. And then it works as a group. It's not about one single player who has the main part and talks a lot or whatever.
Yeah.
Always the whole group, which is telling a story and presenting a topic, actually, which is also an interesting topic for the rest of the students in school. That's why if the students come, the teachers, for example, at the moment, it's like a little book we read and they read the little book with the class, which comes next. And then they have already read the book and they talked about the topic or whatever. And then they see the play and afterwards we have a feedback round and whatever. So it's like a...
So did you develop the book or did that book exist before the little book that you mentioned?
In this case, the book existed. It's called The Diary of Edward the Hamster.
Okay.
It's like a very philosophical book about a little hamster who has really big thoughts about life in general. How can we live together? We are all so different. And what is the meaning of life? Whatever, whatever. So normally the ninth graders do like, how do you call that? Like drama, like a real German drama. We had Wilhelm Tell, Romeo und Julia auf dem Dorfe, der aus dem Leben eines Taugenichts. So these were the last plays I developed. But this time, since it is my class and I'm not the German teacher, but the F teacher, I decided with the German teacher that we will do like a book in ethics, then we will, because then I have everything under control actually. And he's just the EDV and music teacher. And the art teacher was also involved because it's always like fächerübergreifend.
Interdisciplinary.
Yes, very good. It's an interdisciplinary project. Yes.
Cool.
And so they also painted little hamsters and
For the set or stage design?
It was meant to be for the stage design, but then in the end, it just ended up like a little gadget, like little stickers we just sent now.
Why not?
Just to get deeper into the topic and be like the hamster.
Different perspectives on hamsters, why not?
But that's the point, you know. They really... they really.
I like the idea of interdisciplinary projects so that you
and
really engage with it on various levels and not just everyone does whatever in their little silo or box, but it's one topic.
Yeah. And then they presented this play on this network meeting on Monday. And there were 30 teachers from all over Hesse. And the Ministry of Cultural Education. And of course, there was like a life building moment. I mean, not a life changing moment, but like a booster for their self-confidence because they were the ones presenting their play, which had just won the SDL in front of this audience. And the audience was super thrilled and they said, wow, that's, you did a great job. We also had like sixth graders in the audience because I thought it's important for the teachers to see how we engage the other classes. And that was heartwarming because there were two sixth graders and they told us afterwards, It was so cool. We really liked it. And you actually played our life on stage. That was
How
interesting.
funny.
That was super cute because the
Okay.
end is a girl who gets said, like, you have to be like a girl, go put on makeup, don't play computer, go cooking, whatever. So it's about what's
Stereotypes, gender,
how that
roles.
how is a girl and how is a boy. And so they are like, yeah, really emphasizing on do what you want and do what makes you happy and don't listen to other people. And you could really tell when the sixth graders heard that, like, so that's always
Okay.
pretty cool if
Yeah.
you get to this point, actually.
Yeah, that's really, yeah, absolutely. And I guess it gives it more weight also if you present in front of these important people, but also in front of the younger students. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not quite as well developed in my school, but obviously you've been doing this for quite a long time and you really have a focus on this quite officially. And Hesse is a different
And then,
state. I'm in Bavaria, so it's different.
yeah, but that's what I am learning at the moment. Because for a long time, I thought, like, whoa, what am I doing here? I'm always like this. Yeah, it's drama time, and everybody's like, we can do whatever we want, and so on. And I feel as if over the last 2 years, it really comes together. So
It's a
I've
really
been doing this
serious
for 8
project.
years now. And since I think 5 years is always this like school circle. You have like one generation who is going through all the stages. And then and we also have a cooperation with the Staatstheater in Kassel. So they go to the theater once a year with their class, and they have like they have drama pedagogues from the They're coming to our school and working with the students before they see the play, whatever. So really try to put a focus on understanding theater as an art form and making theater myself and feedbacking on theater
As an audience.
as an audience, but in a very, what is wertschätzend, like in a
Appreciative way.
Yeah, in a way that you show the other people, I see what you did good, and not focusing on, yeah, I think this was embarrassing and this was too quiet and whatever, but really train your eye to focus on stuff you really liked because there's always something, and then say that. All the other things the teacher has to say, tell them. And
Yeah,
if you do that
makes
for
sense.
a long time, then they really learn how to do it. And sometimes I even stand in front of them and tell them, like, okay, please be kind because you know everybody ends up on Mrs. Wellenstein's stage in the end of this school. So they are all like, okay, yeah, we
Yeah,
will be kind.
if everyone has to do it, then it makes sense to, yeah, keep that in mind when you're a young student and say ha ha ha. But if they know they'll be in the same position, yeah, that's actually a good system, I guess.
I mean, they are always, especially the Hauptschüler, which I think is sad, they have not yet a real chance to get into this drama as a real subject thing because they have lots of job orientated offers, which is okay too. And you can also tell if you work with Hauptschule, they are quite unreliable, and that's a big part of doing drama in school. They have to come.
I know that, and that's one of my challenges with my students because I am in a Hauptschule, and yeah, that's a challenge.
It's just Hauptschule. You don't have other students.
No, we only have Hauptschule.
Yeah, okay. So that's really, really hard because then they can't even learn from others or by observing other groups and thinking, wow, I can do that too. Because that's another thing. Realschule is kind of hard too, because you have to put a lot of energy in it. But eventually, most of the students will be reliable and at least come when you have something which is really important or whatever. And we won the Hesse School Theater meeting last year for the third time. That's quite
Just like
interesting.
a statewide competition championship.
Yes, that's just Hesse, and there are six winners who just meet and present their plays to another. And that was interesting for me because when I went there for the first time, I thought, okay, my students have to present their play first, because otherwise they see how well the others perform, and then they say, no, we don't want to do that anymore. And so when I went there for the first time, we were the first group to play. It was okay, but when I went there for the second time, we just got, I think, the second slot. Then they saw the first group and they were like, wow, they are so cool. Wow, that looks really good when they all stand still, or it sounds really awesome when they talk really in sync or whatever. And then they really put themselves together like a great performance. And
So it
last
actually helped
time,
seeing the other group.
And that's another thing, seeing other pupils perform on stage has like this snowball effect. Is it a snowball effect? Like,
Kind of a model or
like a role model. You really want to be like them, or you want to do it as great as they do stuff or whatever. So I think that's something I underestimated, maybe. I didn't really know that that has an effect on pupils. I always thought, like, yeah, I don't want them to feel too much under pressure, just get it over with, and then they can enjoy the other presentations. But actually, it's the other way around. They should see one or two really good presentations, and then they go on
So
stage,
they're,
like, wow, we can do that too.
they discover their ambition.
Yes.
And yeah, okay.
That's what I think is interesting. And or maybe you can say that that's why I love doing theater with pupils. Also, it's really exhausting for me sometimes.
Yes,
And I sometimes
of
think,
course.
what am I doing here? Especially when it comes to improvising and starting like those creative processes.
Okay, yeah, to
Then
get
I
into
feel
that a
as
little
if
bit.
I have to actually hand them over everything, because they
Don't have the prerequisites. They're not used to it. They don't come with like an idea how it works.
Their world is quite small. The world of my students is very small. They actually, it consists of TikTok, Netflix, and computer games.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. Yes.
So one play I developed was about just like reading a poem and getting into fights over little words or whatever. And Missverständnisse is,
Misunderstandings.
like little words and misunderstandings. And then we really emphasized on stage fight. I even asked like a trainer for stage fight, because then you could do what they love, because if they improvise, they always fight.
Okay,
And of course
physical
they're not
action.
allowed to really hit each other. Of course not. But that was really cool, because then they learned how to pretend to fight in a very theatrical way with really cool methods, and they were totally into it. It was impressive.
Imagine.
In the end, it was really impressive when they banged their heads on the tables. The other students were like, because they thought it's so real.
Look real.
Yeah, once that I thought, okay, then I will just give in to all this violence on stage, actually, but do it in a theatrical way. Really show
Aesthetically
them.
Interesting.
If you want to be violent, then it has to be theater. It doesn't have, it's not allowed to be real. And we have to do like a twist. Like the play was like a TV show with reporters who reported on violence in school. So always when they had this little fight, those two reporters were like, oh, stop, 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 stop. What's going on here? Why are you fighting? And then they had like this little inner monologues and whatever. So yeah, but they were allowed to fight on stage, which is another topic which is really hot at the moment, at least in Hesse, in all this drama teaching circles, because they say you are not allowed, or be careful with touching certain topics, showing violence on stage, alcohol on stage, smoking a shisha, which is in our hamster play at the moment.
Okay.
The two students are pretending to smoke a shisha, and afterwards some teachers came to me like, wow, that is really, really brave of you to show a shisha on stage. And I was like, okay, I didn't know that. So obviously there's like a certain trend at the moment that certain topics shouldn't be shown on stage.
Yeah, which is
Another unpopular opinion of me. That's why I played theater when I was younger, because I was allowed to do stuff on stage which I would have never done in front of my parents or whatever. Cursing, pretending to smoke a cigarette, playing a drunk person. That was the most fun of all the stuff I did in my drama clubs. Or, yeah, I mean, even pretending to have like a dialect or whatever, which is another topic with stereotypes. Are we allowed to act out stereotypes? Actually, drama, especially drama with pupils, was always about stereotypes. That's how you spin the topics. And I think it's getting harder and harder to find topics you can work on, which are still relevant, because actually I don't want to do stuff like, yeah, the bunny meets the cat in Wonderland.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry.
Not just bunnies and rainbows. Yeah, okay.
Why? And I can understand, especially eighth graders or ninth graders who really think they are on the verge of growing up and being like competent and really smart people in this world. They don't want to play stuff which is like childish or irrelevant actually to their life. They want to put their topics on stage, but then you have to call out the pink elephant.
Yeah, you have to deal with like violence,
drugs,
sexual stuff or whatever. Yeah, okay. I see. And yeah, I guess I've observed the trend. I mean, not so much in my school, but in society at large, yes, definitely. And well, I think at least in the schools we're working in, and I think the idea is that children or young people should be protected. I guess that's the idea. But I guess at least in our schools, this is pretty much their everyday reality anyway. So I guess it's hard to protect them from it, because it's just part of their life, as far as I know.
Yes, and I think that's like a very adult angle of looking on kids growing up, like thinking I can protect them by not talking about certain things or forbidding to say certain words or whatever. I don't think that life works like that. And those kids are, they deal with media and violence and sexual topics and whatever when they are online with their mobile phone or whatever. So what are we thinking when we say they are not allowed to pretend to drink beer? That was another thing. We have like this hamster. He gets like a companion in his cage, and he's like a very rude hamster. Actually, in the book, he poos into
the hamster wheel.
No, not in the hamster wheel, but in the pot for the food.
Oh, okay, in the food bowl. Yeah, okay.
In the food bowl, yeah. He poos in the food bowl. So Edward, the hamster, is totally devastated because this guy is so...
I guess real hamsters do that, but yeah.
Yeah, so... and this hamster, the root hamster, was played by a girl with a headscarf. And she went into my props room and took like a beer bottle and a controller and a boombox and sunglasses. And then they chose a really cool song, and she just walks on stage and she sits. She's really cool, and she drinks beer and spits on stage, pretends to whatever. And a very tall boy from Somalia, he's Edward with glasses, and he's really shocked about this rudeness of the little girl drinking beer and whatever. The teachers afterwards said, wow, a girl with headscarf and a beer bottle, I would have never dared to do something like that on stage. And I was like, I didn't do that. She chose to do that. And we were excited that she really like to present herself like that. And she does that with such self-confidence. And you really can tell that she really loves to be that character on stage. Who am I to tell her, no, come on. If you pretend to drink beer, that's haram in your religion. I mean, that's the point, that they are characters on stage. That's what I always try to tell them. Like, it's not you who's on stage, because that's another topic I deal with, that we have more and more students who say that they are not allowed to move to music on stage. They are not allowed to do training with girls or scenes with girls or whatever. So that comes more and more. We have to deal with that. And I'm very strict when it comes to those things, because I always tell them, we're in a German school, and we have like a constitution which says that men and women are equal, and that your religion is private. And if in school, if we listen to music, or if we even have music as a subject, and some teachers really struggle with students who do not want to come to class anymore because they say they are not allowed to listen to music or whatever. And in our school, we try to be really, really clear on that subject. And we say, welcome to Germany. We have a constitution, and this is like a subject in a German school. And it's part of our curriculum. So you have to participate. And that's not haram. Don't worry. When you're at home, don't listen to music. That's totally fine. Of course, you're not drinking beer at home. Of course not. I don't care what religion a ninth grader doesn't drink beer at home. But on my stage, of course, let's do it. Let's have fun. Let's listen to music. Let's drink beer. Pretend to drink beer, whatever. We all know that's a joke. They are not stupid, though. I mean, what are the the adults afraid of. Like,
Whoa.
okay, she pretended to drink beer on stage and
I don't
now
know.
she's
I mean,
become an alcoholic.
are they worried about getting into trouble with parents, maybe? That the parents say, "Oh, my daughter pretends to drink beer on stage. That's not okay."
Maybe, but that's the other part of our school life. Parents don't even know that their kids present something because
Okay.
our students never tell their parents. And some of them, at the moment, I have three parents who came and watched the play, but that's very seldom. Sometimes, especially Ukrainian parents, they come watch plays. But other than that,
They don't really know.
no, it's
Okay.
that's why we our presentations are really in the school
In for the
schedule.
students, yeah.
At 12 o'clock, I never do presentations in the evening because nobody would come.
Yeah,
And
okay.
of course, the other point is presenting like a bottle of beer or a shisha as something cool. To the other students in the school, but please be honest,
It happens
they
elsewhere
think
all the
that's
time.
cool anyways. They can go to our school toilet, then they see them vaping and whatever and doing their cool stuff. So yeah, we don't have to pretend that they don't get in contact with these things if we don't show them on a stage in school.
Yeah, okay. No, I see it, that it's part of their lives anyway, so it's not really that you are exposing them to it for the first time. Yeah, no.
Oh, I don't think so, at least. I would love
Probably not.
to, but yeah.
Yeah, interesting. But yeah, I see what you mean by it's kind of the trend in society. Yeah. I mean, I haven't really experienced it very much in my school, but I see what you mean. This kind of idea of yeah, not mentioning certain topics, and I think I see where the concern comes from, and I think I understand, but yeah, maybe there are other ways of approaching these problems. I don't know.
You know, in my experience, not talking about things or not showing things, and
That's
I'm
not
not
really
talking
helpful.
about naked, whatever, sex scenes in movies in school or whatever. I'm not talking about that.
No.
Of course not. But everything a student comes up with in my class, especially when they find some props which are brought by other students. This big shisha, it's there because we used it for Wilhelm Tell like 6 years ago. And it's just lying around there. And sometimes they come and they Wee! And then they do like a little scene and whatever. Yeah, so but it's not as if they know what it is. So obviously they have seen it already. And pretending stuff on stage, that's actually what student theater is about, isn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah. And I mean, they have, maybe even the chance to just play with it, maybe is making it less, even less interesting because it's not forbidden. I don't know.
Yeah, or just pretending to do stuff like that and showing, yeah, I could do that too. So it's feel like it's cooler in real life if you don't even do it. You can say like, I pretend to do like I'm drunk or whatever because I know how it feels like. I don't have to do it myself. I don't know. I mean, I got drunk when I was younger and I played drunk people on stage. So but actually, it wasn't like, oh, I played it on stage. I have to do it on Saturday evening. I think that's
Yeah,
like a
it's kind of
link.
beside the point, probably. I mean, these problems exist and we should do something about it, but maybe that's not the way.
It's like overthinking stuff and not letting those kids who have little parts in their life where they can be creative or do crazy stuff. To narrow these little areas in their life by overthinking it in a very adult and very over-critical point of view. I mean, that's my opinion. I always have to say that. I totally respect when people say otherwise. Maybe I just don't have the experience that somebody pretended to be drunk on stage and afterwards he or she became a drunk. I don't know. An alcoholic. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not aware of a super big problem. I just can say from my point of view, I played everything when I was younger, drunks, smoking, whatever. I even played as if I were a migrant, which is something else you should not do anymore, like pretending to have like an accent or whatever. But of course, I was always respectful people to all people who come to Germany, whatever. It's just playing with those stereotypes and stuff you see and whatever. So I'm confused with all these topics, and I know that it's a slippery slope at the moment. And sometimes, you know what I think? Sometimes I can do things with my students which would not be possible with other students because they are from a multicultural background. So they can tackle subjects.
Because I mean, they are represented there themselves. So it's not just white people trying to do something, but you have the whole diverse group. So if someone feels insulted, they could say, hey, wait a moment, is that what you mean?
It's me. By the way, that was something else when we went to this festival once, this Hesse festival. There was like a white girls group who danced as if they were like the daughter of George Floyd. And they did like a protest against black suppression and whatever. And of my black students afterwards said, wow, they danced really beautifully and I really liked what they did and they were really into it. But when they always yelled something like, just because I'm black, just because I'm black and I can't breathe, I can't breathe and let me breathe. I don't really understand. That felt awkward for me. And I was like, yeah, why did it feel awkward for you? And then one girl said, yeah, because they are not black. And I'm like, yes. But that's what they get taught. Like white, I always say, white students in Germany now dance the suppression of my students, which is totally stupid. You know, they should engage in how does it feel that sometimes just because I'm white, I'm supposed to be a racist or something like that. That's what I learn. My students always say, Frau Wellenstein, you're a racist.
Yeah, I know.
You gave me a 5 in English just because you're racist. I think no, just because you're lazy. That's why.
I know what you mean.
You know, so we all have topics that we can bring on stage and that we can talk about. My students ended one play with talking about what they love about Germany, and they even waved a German flag. And when my son saw the video of this play, he was like, what are they doing? Are they waving the German flag? Are you crazy? And I said, they are allowed to do that because I really want to enhance their positive feelings towards Germany. Because actually, they always learn as they always hear that Germany is very racist. Students with migratory backgrounds do not have the same chances like other students and whatever. So this is how they start into this society. And I don't want that. I want them to be open and to take the opportunities this country has to offer, because there are opportunities. And if you train them on focusing to be the victim and check, oh yeah, I didn't get that because I'm a migrant or because I'm not German, whatever. That's not what I learn. In my school, all the teachers are very engaged in bringing the best to these students and really help them to get into this society.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want them to be open and friendly, because I think then they have the best chances to flourish in this society, and not always dwelling on, yeah, where were you discriminated and whatever. So I always try to put a positive focus on their lives and, yeah, try to engage in topics that help them to have a positive angle on other people and try to find those people who are good to them and who give them chances and whatever, because bad people are everywhere, seriously. They come in every color.
And I mean, I'm sure students are aware of discrimination anyway. And yeah, I guess you don't have to make a big topic of it, because they know it exists, they experience it. But maybe, I guess that's what you're trying to say, is you want them to also see the positive, so that they actually have maybe better chances when they're confident, and when they don't think I'm a victim anyway, but when they think, hey, I can do this,
when they are on time, friendly and ambitious, then they have the best chances to get somewhere. If they are just hanging there and saying, like, I don't have a chance anyways, that's too much for me, because it's not worth it to put some effort in it. I mean, then it's no matter who comes along, who says, like, yeah, bring it on to me, I'm just sitting here on my sofa.
which I guess can happen to students of any color and any social background. I guess having a bit of healthy ambition doesn't hurt.
And fight for something. If you really want something, then fight for it. And if it doesn't happen, okay, then we don't know. Was it racism? Was it bad luck or whatever? Then something else will happen for you. And just don't be like a victim in your own life. Just try to make the best out of it. And that's actually what I try to foster when I enter competitions, because then my students meet other students from every cultural background, and they really come out of their little bubble, because of course my school is also a bubble, and we really need to get together with people and really experience that we can have fun together. And that's why performing arts, especially drama, is such a great medium method.
Medium, yeah.
To bring people together and to really make an experience, like experience with all your senses, not only just sitting in front of your laptop or mobile phone and chatting with strangers. Sometimes my students chat with strangers and whatever, and I'm like, why are you doing that? Or they chat with KIs, with artificial intelligence now. Like, why? So I think drama is a perfect tool to get them into real life and make experiences and get out of their comfort zone and grow as a person. And that's why I think it's an important tool in school, but it should be graded.
Okay, I guess that's
I respect.
I guess that kind of is the conclusion.
I mean, you can have an unpopular opinion every now and then.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're probably never going to change things if you don't dare to be unpopular sometimes.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, that was a really yeah, exciting talk. And I learned a lot about your school and how it is special. And really kind of, yeah, I wish it was a model to other schools in Germany. I guess there's
Thank
so
you.
much performing art.
We always welcome other schools and students to come and visit. And yeah,
Thank you so much.
you're welcome. It was a great pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julia. And that's a wrap for this episode. I'm hoping that in the future the episodes will be released on a more regular basis again. And at our more recent or most recent Drama and Education online conference, I learned that there were actually some conference attendees who found us through the podcast, which is really cool, and I'm planning to do at least one or two more episodes this year. So, until the next one, goodbye!